John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, if we confess our sins, the word is homologio, it's a verb. It means to make declaration. But here, in its context, the right synonym is to acknowledge. It says, if we acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Did you notice what it says? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It means he's got a job to do, and it's up to him to do that job. And what he's saying is he can be trusted to do his part. Okay, look at Romans chapter 3. And you go to verse, I'll begin from verse 22. Because what I want is actually in verse 26. But I'm looking for the best place. I can take it from verse 24. Okay? Being justified freely. Notice that. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He's talking about God's righteousness in the remission of sins. That God is righteous. And that in his righteousness, he puts away man's sin. And justifies him. And that word, justify, is the biggest word of the gospel. And I'll explain it to you. But let me take you through this first part. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 again. Can you put it back up there? Okay. It says, if we confess our sins, if we acknowledge our sins, he is faithful. He can be trusted. He is faithful and just. He's not talking about asking. He says to acknowledge. You get it? He didn't say ask. He didn't say ask for forgiveness. Acknowledge your sin. Now, when you acknowledge, what should you do? Let's look at this in a practical way. If I say, oh Lord, please forgive me. When am I going to know when he's done it? Because I asked, right? Because I asked. So, when does he do it? Okay. Listen to this. When you study the first epistle of John, you would notice he has his writing in three categories. The first category, to the children. The second category, the young men. And the third category, the fathers. He associates the children with sin. And the children are those who really don't know the Word of God, but they have come to know the Father, even though they don't have that acquaintance They have recognized you. They've come to you. And they sin all the time. Because they're children. They do the wrong things. And so he says to them, my little children, this I write to you that you sin not. When he talks to the fathers, he says, if you're born of God, you don't sin. He says, the one who's born of God cannot sin. Cannot sin. Now, if you study first Epistle of St. John with the mind of a child, a spiritual baby, you would think he's contradicting himself in telling you that you cannot sin and then telling you that if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. How can you sin if he says you cannot sin? Yeah, we've got to find out who he's addressing. Who's he talking to? So there are different levels and different classes. And he wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge. So I said to you, when does the Father forgive? And on what grounds can he forgive? On what grounds can the Father forgive you? How can he forgive you without legal grounds? The truth is this. He's already provided for your forgiveness. He doesn't now forgive you. No, he's provided forgiveness. What he wants you to do is to obtain forgiveness. Receive it. You see, if we teach God's people the accurate word of God, not only will they grow, they will grow strong. And they will put the devil where he belongs, under their feet. It's so important that we teach them. And if Satan can keep you asking and asking for forgiveness and you're not sure whether or not you've been forgiven, he'll make you ineffective in your Christian life. Inefficient. And you can't perform. You can't do the things that God's called you to do. And your faith will be weak. Because always there's a call to remembrance of this whatever sin it is. And there's something else about forgiveness you've got to know. The Father is not so much after you getting forgiveness as he is after the real reason for forgiveness. Forgiveness is from the word aphesis. Aphesis means freedom. Primarily means freedom. I'll take you to that. That's what it primarily means. Freedom. So the Father's focus is freedom from sin. See that? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the expression of His righteousness. Okay. So let's do it step by step. First, go to the book of Acts in chapter 13 from verse 38. I want you to notice this. Acts chapter 13 from verse 38. He says, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, he was talking about Jesus. This is the 38th verse. So the context is on Jesus. He says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Watch it now. Is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Verse 39. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. This is mind-blowing. He says, and by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Justified? That means declared not guilty. Acquitted, not guilty. Free. How can a sinner be declared not guilty of the sin that he committed? Because it says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness, aphesis, freedom from sin. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Look at this. He's talking about Jesus. Him had God exalted. Him had God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Uh-oh. Listen. To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. To give it? We're not through here. Chapter 26, verse 18. Book of Acts. Let's read from 16 or 17. 17. So we'll come into 18 properly. Okay. Now, the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus. Okay. Popularly known as Paul. And he says this to him. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, verse 18, I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive. The word receive is lambano. It means to take it. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. Take forgiveness of sins. He didn't say that they may ask for forgiveness of sins. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. An inheritance. Okay. The same way you receive the inheritance is how you receive the forgiveness. They're both under the same lambano. Did you see that? He says that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. Okay. Do you ask for your inheritance? Why do you ask for the forgiveness? He says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He is telling you in the gospel of Jesus Christ, forgiveness is in the package. Receive it and make it yours. Does that make people sin more? No! Because the idea is freedom from sin. Understand it. Freedom from it. Freedom from sin doesn't mean freedom. I'm not talking about freedom from the bondage of sin. No. I mean freedom from sinning. Freedom from the bondage of sin, that is easy for people to understand. That Satan's dominion over them is broken as far as the bondage of sin is concerned. But you doing something wrong. Is it possible to live righteously? Is it possible not to do wrong? Is it possible? Emphatically, yes. This is what Jesus came to do. Otherwise, it means that his purpose was not accomplished. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There are two reasons people sin. Two reasons. For all sin. Any sin. There are two reasons. And you sin because of either one of them or both. Fear and selfishness. And what has God brought to replace fear and selfishness? Faith and love.
Hallelujah.
If you walk by faith, you cannot live in fear. If you walk in love, you cannot be selfish. Therefore, if you function in faith and love, you cannot sin. Nothing done by faith and love could ever be sin. Can you see that? It's been that simple. So now, if you did something wrong in your life and you're thinking what to do, stop asking and trying to wait to know whether or not God has forgiven you. No! Don't ask and try to know whether He's done it. Receive. Lambano. Take forgiveness. So what do you say? Father, I acknowledge that this thing that I did is wrong and I receive forgiveness in the name of Jesus. You see, that puts responsibility on you and not on God. You're not going to be trying to think whether has God forgiven me. It'll be, have I received it? Did I take it? Can you see it now? It changes the issue of faith. Instead of thinking, I don't know if God's done it, you ought to be thinking, what have I done with it? Have I received it? So the problem is not God. The problem is you. So receive it and quit asking again and again. Take what belongs to you. Hallelujah. So can we go to 13th verse of Colossians, the 4th chapter. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, his loved son. I told you, he has already translated, transferred us. That's what the word says, transferred us. Now, he is not talking about transferring from time to time. And so we don't know where next we're going to land. No. He's done it permanently. Permanently. You've been transferred, translated into the kingdom of his loved son. That's where you are now. The question is, do you realize you are in his kingdom? Do you realize that you're not under the dominion of Satan? Then where did the cancer come from? Where did the migraine headaches come from? If you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, how did the devil get to you? That's when you say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I refuse to accommodate the devil and anything from him. Satan and I belong in the kingdom of God's dear son, Jesus Christ. Your authority over my life was broken when I was born again. I received eternal life and became a child of God. And I don't belong under your jurisdiction. I don't belong there. And there's something even better than not belonging under his jurisdiction. It's the fact that you've got power over him now. You see that? You've got power over him. Jesus said, in my name shall they cast out devils. That means exercising control over Satan. Now he's under our jurisdiction. Hallelujah. He's under our authority. And I know there are people who say that they don't believe in the existence of devils, demons, that these are in the imagination of certain Christians. Imagination. The Bible says Jesus cast out devils. Was he stupid? He did cast out devils. You're smarter than Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he was teaching one time in a synagogue, and the Bible tells us a woman who was bent double and couldn't straighten herself up. came in while Jesus was teaching. And you know, she was walking slowly. And she came in trying to get herself comfortable. And Jesus said, come here. And the woman walked toward Jesus. And the master said, of this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed on the Sabbath day. He said Satan had bound her. Her condition, her infirm condition, Jesus said was cursed by the devil. That's what Jesus said. And he proved it by touching her and commanding her to straighten up. And she was healed instantly. If that hadn't happened, then we could have said, well, maybe Jesus was guessing. Maybe Jesus, he didn't get it right. But he did. He healed her. The result was there. I told you yesterday, he commanded the deaf spirit to come out. And the man began to heal. That meant it was true. I've done the same thing over the years. In casting out deaf spirits. And instantly they start hearing. Many, several born deaf and dumb did exactly what Jesus said to do. Exactly what he did. If Jesus had been wrong, there would have been no result. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What does God need to do to give us anything? He says, the one who gave us his own son, wouldn't he with him freely give us all things? Is there anything too good for you? You know, when we ask God for things, we ask like he couldn't care less about it. Say, God is kind.
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 He's wonderful.
He's wonderful.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
Do you love him?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, back to verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? He has translated us. He has transferred us. So, where are we now? Come on. Where are we now? Where are we now? Where are we now? What happens there? What happens in that kingdom? Tell me. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, he's translated us into that kingdom. The first thing is for you to recognize that you are there now. Recognize that you are there now. You belong there. You're there now. And that's when you start asking the right questions. If I'm there, then this shouldn't happen, and this shouldn't be, you see. And he says, whatever you forbid on earth shall be forbidden in heaven. That means he will be behind you. Because you're standing on his authority. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That means he gives the word. When you give the word, he endorses it. So if you will forbid it, it will be forbidden. If you will allow it, it will be allowed. Now, can you imagine? There are people who have been in certain conditions for a long, long time, and they wonder, why has this continued for so long? Because you've allowed it for so long. The day you decide you don't want it to continue is the day it will stop. Once you say, I don't want it anymore, I've had enough. Don't say, oh God, I've had enough. Oh God, I've had enough. He is not responsible for it. Because if you say that, it won't change anything. Oh Lord, please take this thing away. He's not going to take it away because he didn't put it there. And he's given you the authority to do something about it. How much does it take to exercise authority? How much does it take? You're not doing it in your name, you're doing it in the name of Jesus. How much does it take? And did you notice, he didn't say, these signs shall follow. See, if you read it right, listen to this. These signs shall follow them that believe, was what Jesus said. Okay? He didn't say, these signs shall follow them that believe. They can do it. He says, them that believe. Believe what? The gospel. Then he says, in my name, they shall cast out devils. He didn't say, they shall cast out devils if they believe they can. Did he say that? No. It's not believing you can. He didn't say, believe you can. No, believe in Jesus. The focus is on Jesus. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have received him as Lord of your life. Now that you are the believing one, Jesus Christ has become Lord of your life. You have received eternal life into your spirit. You don't need to exercise, hear me, you don't need to exercise any more believing about devils and casting them out. This is authority. This is a difference. You don't need to believe you can do it. Stop trying to believe you can do it. I wish I could really believe. You already believe. So don't try to believe. That's the thing about authority. Let me show you this. Imagine the traffic warden at the junction. And he does like this for you. And you're coming on this side. What is that sign? Everybody knows. Does he have to believe? He doesn't have to. He might even be drunk. And if he did this, for both sides, this way and this way, they'll both stop. And that would be crazy. I mean, you stop this one, you tell this side to go. And he does this and this. And he does this to everybody and they all stop. And the guy's drunk. It's authority. You see it? As long as it's in uniform, he has that authority. He doesn't have to believe in it. You get it? If you will say it, it will happen. If you will say it. Now somebody says, but I've been saying it. You've been saying it? I've been saying it, and it hasn't been happening. That's the problem. Who told you? Who told you? Who told you it's not been happening? Every time you sow your seed, you pluck it out of the ground again, and you say, I don't know why it's not growing. See, when you say the word, it works. Quit thinking it's not working. If Satan can get you into the sense realm of trying to observe, what does the Bible say? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They are observing lying vanities. Lying vanities. They forsake their own mercy. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 14. Verse 14, you'll like this one. Say, I am in the kingdom of God's dear Son.
I am in the kingdom of God's dear Son.
That's where I am.
That's where I am.
Okay. Can you imagine? This is the introduction of the subject. All of this we've been talking about Friday, Saturday, and now. It's the introduction. Okay. So, verse 14. In whom? In whom? Talking about Jesus Christ. He says, in whom we have. In whom we have. In whom we have redemption. That means our redemption. Oh, I wish I had time for that. In whom we have our redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now notice the word even in parentheses. That means it had to be supplied. Now the reason they supplied that word was because, in fact, they actually supplied the same thing in the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, a verse that is similar to this one. And it's wrong. Because what they're trying to say by even is to suggest that it means. Did you get it? They're trying to say, it means. Let me read like this so you can get what I mean. They're trying to say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, meaning the forgiveness of sins. Well, that's not true. But it's good they told us that something was missing there. What's missing? Is a simple conjunction. Put and there. And you have it. In whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Because they're two different things. We have our redemption. You know, I just shared with you some scriptures that showed us that forgiveness of sins, aphesis, freedom. It means in whom we have our redemption and our freedom from sins. You see, we're free from sin. Do you understand? We're free from it. We don't have to sin. And we don't have to be watching to be sure that we don't sin. No. It's better to light a candle than to curse darkness. Just light a candle. Just walk in righteousness. Just walk in the light. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ himself cleanses us from all sin. Automatically. If there's anything wrong, you don't have to try to find out, did I do something wrong? Listen, sin is everywhere. Why? Because man's word has been polluted. So he cleanses us from our sin. Sin not necessarily committed by you. Sin rubbed off on you. You see that? And so you don't have to watch for it and try to stay away from it. No. This was why in the Old Testament they did all kinds of washings. If they wanted to go into the presence of God, they washed their hands and washed their feet. You know, they had to wash all the time. These ceremonial washings, all kinds of washings that they had to engage in. Now he says the blood of Jesus Christ himself cleanseth us. Jesus Christ is Son. God's Son. His blood cleanses us from our sin automatically. Any sin that falls on you, whether from someone else or whatever in the environment, whatever it is, you don't have to be watching for it. It takes care of you. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. And you just keep walking your way through victory, from glory to glory. Hallelujah. You see that? Say, I'm filled with righteousness. Because I've been made righteous. Okay. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Just take a look at this one. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Have you seen it? For if by one man's offense, talking about Adam's offense. For if by one man's offense, death reigned. Do you know what he's talking about there? Death. Death has reigned as a king. Man has dreaded death. They don't know what to do about death. They say everybody's got to die. Death is for everybody. They fear death because this has become a king. They don't know what to do about death. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more there which, much more than death has reigned. He says, much more there which receive. Yeah. Oh God. And that word again is lambano. Receive. It doesn't mean I keep my hands like this and you drop it here. And I just go with it and say, thank you. Receive. Lambano means take it by yourself. Take a hold of it. Lay claims to it. Don't stand there and think it's coming. You see, lambano. They which receive some grace. No! And notice, he didn't use the definite article. He didn't say the abundance of grace. Because it's not the same for everybody. They which receive abundance of grace. Not the abundance of grace. But abundance of grace. They which receive an overflowing of grace. How much of it do you want? He says, go for it. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That means take advantage of the grace. Take as much of it as you want. How much grace do you want? They which receive abundance of grace. And then he says, and of the gift of righteousness. The gift. Because it's the same for everybody. The gift of righteousness. Did you see that? Receive the gift of righteousness. Receive the gift. They which receive the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. He didn't say they which try to become righteous. If you keep trying, you will never get there. If you could have gotten there, Jesus never should have come. But he came because you couldn't make yourself righteous. That's why you needed him. That's why he came. To give you righteousness. Hallelujah. The gift of righteousness. He calls it a gift. He has made us righteous. The righteousness is the nature of God. That qualifies you to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt and without guilt. Without condemnation or the sense of condemnation. Are you hearing me? And it imparts to you the rightness of God in your spirit and the ability to do right. That's imparted into your spirit. You find you carrying you the genes of God. You are able to do what God tells you to do. Somebody says, oh, nobody can live a true Christian life. Oh, when that man receives the Holy Ghost, when that man receives the Holy Ghost, the power to do. Hallelujah. I got the life of God in me. I'm born again. I got the life of God in me. Look at this. Let's read it. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. The Amplified Version says, shall reign as kings in life. He's not talking about life in heaven. Because you don't reign in heaven. The subjects are down in the earth. It's in this life. They which receive abundance of grace, receive grace for your industry. To be a master of the arts, a master of the sciences, a master of your job, in your career. To be a master, a maestro. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah. You say, I receive the grace. Oh, glory to God. You become an enigma in your area. They can understand you. David said, the Lord has made me a wonder. He says, I have become a wonder to others. They keep looking at you, they can understand you. Hallelujah. They shall reign in life. By Jesus Christ. And you say, look, I'm running in life in the name of Jesus. I'm running in life in the name of Jesus. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Shout amen, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah. Get this. See, this word that we're preaching here, this message that we're sharing here, will grow mightily in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And prevail. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Ha-ha! Glory to God. Lift your hands up high. Worship Him. Open your mouth and thank Him. Open your mouth and worship Him. Okay, sit down. I told you that was the introduction. So, all of that was to tell you this. You ready now? Okay, don't worry. Sometimes the introduction is often longer than the main thing. So, don't worry. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 5. This was where I wanted to go all the time. But we had to lay a very solid foundation. First John chapter 5 from verse 11. Say, I know who I am. From verse 11. And this is the record. Oh, hallelujah. Shika barabatidikis. This is the testimony. This is the record. This is the record. That God. Oh, hebakayarabadi. Brothers and sisters, he says, this is the record. That God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. This is not a promise. He states, He declares that He's already done it. He says, this is the record. That God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Verse 12. He that has the Son has life. If you have the Son of God, you have life. Can you see it? It's not a promise. He says this is the record. This is the testimony of God. That God has given to us. He has given to us. He has granted us eternal life. It's in the law of God. He's already done it. The sovereign declaration of Almighty God. That He has given us eternal life. And that this life is in His Son. Anyone who has the Son has this life. And anyone who does not have the Son does not have life. Look at it. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you have the Son, you have this life. If you don't have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you don't have this life. It's a special life. It is the life of God. It is the God life. You have human life. You have plant life. You have the God life. This is the life that Jesus brought to the world. He said, the thief cometh not. John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life. He wasn't talking about corpses. He wasn't talking to corpses. That they might have life and that they might have it to the full. That meant that the life he was talking about was different from the life they already had. I am come that they might have life. This is Christ's purpose. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it to the full. You know what Jesus said of himself? He said, as the Father has life. John chapter 5 verse 26. As the Father has life in himself. Even so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Inherent life. And this is the life that the Father has declared is in His Son Jesus Christ. That anyone who has the Son has this life. He didn't say anyone who has the Son shall have the life. Go back there. John chapter 5 verse, 1 John chapter 5 verse 12. First epistle of St. John chapter 5 verse 12. Go back there. And look at it. He that hath the Son hath life. I told you, hath is has. Okay? That's King James for has. He that has the Son has life. Is that a promise? That's not a promise. Come on. That's a statement of fact. That anyone who has the Son has life. He's not going to get it. You are not getting more and more of life. No, come on. The day a child is born, he's as human as the parent. He doesn't become more human every day as he grows. Does he become more and more human? Just because he's creeping and he doesn't walk yet doesn't mean he is not yet fully human. He's as human as a bird. I got the life of God in me. In every fiber of my being. In my whole spirit, my soul, and my body. He that hath the Son hath life. He says, this life. This life. He says, God. Says, this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. He didn't say some life. He says eternal life. And that this life is in his Son. This life is in his Son. Not some of the life. This life is in his Son. The Son said, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. This life is what the Father has given. And he says, this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He has it. He didn't say, when you come to heaven, I'll give it to you. He didn't say, when you pray loud enough, I'll give it to you. He didn't say, if you behave well, I'll give it to you. If you have the Son of God, you have life. How do you have the Son? By receiving him as Lord of your life. You confess his Lordship over your life by declaring, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. The Bible says if you will declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession, declaration, affirmation is made unto salvation. And that salvation is what brings you in there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in me. I have the life of God in me. You see, I'll never go to hell. Never. I'll never go to hell. Why? Because Christ is in me. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I couldn't go to hell. If I went into hell, all of them light will come into hell. Don't you understand? If I went into hell, hell would change. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the light of the world, lives in me. And he has made me a light. Can you understand this? I'll never go to hell. Christ is in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. You see that? Oh, let me show you more. Saint Rodrigo's Kepra Handel Jesus a servant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I was just saying that somebody with a lump in the breast just got healed. Just got healed. That lump is gone. It's gone. It's gone. You've been asking for a miracle and you've got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So, can we have 1 John chapter 4 in verse 17? Just show that to you. Say, Maki the heart. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Herein is our love made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, I told you. I said, I'll never go to hell. See, in the day of judgment, I'm going to be bold. See, there are people who are afraid of judgment day is coming. And when they hear about judgment day is coming, they say, well, we don't know. We never can tell what's going to happen to God's judgment day. What do you mean you never can tell? If you can't tell now that you are, well, what side are you going to be on judgment day? Some of us are going to be behind the desk. Do you understand? Judging the whole world. That's what the Bible says. We'll be sitting on thrones with the Master. Judging the nations of the world. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Yeah, 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 yeah. Can you see the latter part of it? Because as he is. Ah! Oh. I don't understand. Why is it that most Christians don't know that this is in the Bible?
Why is it? Why don't they know that's in the Bible? What in the world have they been looking for? Trying to get deliverance from the devil? Trying to get some help from man? Look at that! Because, can you imagine? This was a side talk for John. It was a side talk. It wasn't the main subject. That shows you the way they lived. This was commonplace knowledge in John's day. Because as he is, say Kamandele Gebosta, as he is, so are we in this world. Man, oh man. So, how is he? You want to know, how is he? Notice, he didn't say as he was. You know, they say, well, you know, he was born in Bethlehem. In a manger. He was the son of the carpenter. And they think that he was a mouse. Trying to be holy. No, that's not Jesus. This is the reason Christ, are you hearing me? Not as he was, but as he is. As he is, so are we in this world. How is he? Hebrews chapter 1. We'll read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He's the heir of all things. Of all things? Yes. You know, I heard a story. You know, just a story. About a man that had a certain kind of experience with God, and he was saying that God didn't, that he could create just like God could create. And you know, so there wasn't any big thing about God. And so God said to him, so what can you make? He says, I can make anything. I'll make something. So God said, so start. And he began to put some sand together. And God said, no, don't use that. That's mine. I made that one. He said, you got me. You see, he couldn't find what to use because God made the world out of nothing. He made the world out of nothing. And you know something the Bible says about him? He says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Hi. How do you analyze that? How do you even begin to understand that? He says, he brought the light. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Do you understand? He brought light out of darkness. He's not saying he brought light into the darkness. That would be a big thing. But that he originated light from the darkness. And we know you cannot mix darkness and light. He brought light out of darkness. Oh. You know what I'm hearing the Spirit saying? That's one of the smallest things to do. That's what the Spirit said. It's one of the smallest things to do. That surprises you because you're thinking in this realm. That surprises you. Praise God. Kelongros Gage Black Angoligos Telagongre Balehasto Jos Klahida. Telakakongos Kevra Palehastasias. Astasius, Nicarhangrus, Telahashtus, Karaktila, Angubagahustis. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His greatness is what he's talking about. The Spirit of God is talking about his greatness. his awesomeness. The world will never be able to tell how great he is because they don't have the capacity to contain the description. They will never be able to understand. That's what I said in the spirit. That's what I said in other tongues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. His life is in us. His life is in us. The Father gave birth to us. We are from Him. We're born of God. Born of God. As He is, so are we in this world. That's what the Word says. Now, you know what the Word of God is? The Word of God is God's mirror. And He sets up that mirror for us to look at us. So you look into the mirror of God and you see yourself. Hey, come on. All right. Book of James, chapter 1. From verse 22. James, chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. All right, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto... Watch it now. He says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass in the mirror. 24. For he beholdeth himself, he sees himself, and goeth his way, and straightway, right away, forgetteth what manner of man he was. Think about it. A man looks at himself in a mirror. As soon as he turns away, he forgets. And notice the choice of words. What manner of man he was. What kind of man. What kind of man. What kind of man. He's dealing with the kind here. He's not talking about how pointed your nose is. He's not talking about how wide your ears are. Are you hearing me? He's talking about what kind of man. What kind? What manner of man? I like that. I like that. Go to the next verse. I like that. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth daring, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hallelujah. The one who keeps looking and doesn't forget what manner of man he is. What manner of man are you? What kind of man are you? When Jesus stopped the winds and the waves, they said, what manner of man is this? What kind of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. They obey him. What kind of man is this? James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind. A kind, a type. A type of top class. That's the meaning of first fruits. Top class. It means the first and the best. That's first fruits. That we should be a kind, a type of first class of his creatures. We are first class. He's not talking about all human beings. He's talking about of his own will. He gave birth to us with the word of truth. He's talking about the gospel. So he's referring to those of us who are born again. We are top class. We are the first fruits of his creatures. Everything he made is good. But we are first class. Top class. Because we're born of the word of truth. Top class. And the potentials of that creature, of this kind of being, will only be awakened when you recognize this truth. You discover you are top class all the way. You are first class all the way. And that's why Satan likes to keep God's people ignorant, so that they will not become what God has said they are. So you can continue to believe in poverty and in weakness and argue about, I don't like them prosperity preachers. I don't like them. They are, you know, just making noise. Who are those distributing Bibles around the world? Is it prosperity preachers? Who are those? Yeah. Who are those preaching Jesus Christ en masse to the nations of the world? It is the prosperity preachers. Who are those taking over large facilities for the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is the prosperity preachers. You know what the Bible says about a poor man? He says a poor man, even though he's wise and he can deliver a nation, a city, he says his voice is not heard. So the gospel of a poor man cannot be heard. Can you see it? Why would you rather choose poverty? No, why would you rather choose poverty? Don't believe in poverty. Don't believe in it. Don't accept it. Don't believe in it. It's a devil's strategy to keep you tied up in ignorance and disability. Poverty, I told you yesterday, is not the absence of required necessity. Poverty is the destruction of the human abilities. It is an attack, an invasion of the mind. I want you to understand it. You are not poor until you refuse to think. As long as your mind is open, God will give you ideas. And when God gives you ideas, you cannot be poor. It means I want you to come up hither. Come up to a higher plane. Come up to a higher plane. There's much more than the mind can think of. All available to you in Christ Jesus. Glory. Oh, the anointing of God is strong here. You want to take some of it? Glory to God. Here's what, you know,